We're holding on Pe Omid Beis, the fourth line from the bottom. The Mishnah had said, so we discussed in the Mishnah the case of a Swiss, and we distinguished between the two kinds of Swiss, Swiss Adam, somebody who was born normally and afterwards was mutilated, and a Swiss Adam who we said was born who was born infertile, and we talked about in the Gemara yesterday various simonim by which we know that he's a Swiss. So now, after discussing all that and discussing the question, what
you said, a Swiss Adam for both cases.
Did I? I meant Swiss Chama for the second one. Then we discussed in the Mishnah which one of them is Yibum and Chalitza relevant to, and which one not. Where we had a Machlokas Reb, we had a Machlokas Reb Akiva and Reb Eliezer about that. Reb Akiva saying that a Swiss Adam is Shayach to Chalitza because he had Shasa Kosher, a Swiss Chama no because he never had Shasa Kosher, and Reb Eliezer saying the other way around because a Swiss Chama can be cured whereas a Swiss Adam can't. So now, at that point, the Mishnah continues, Hasris loicholitz v'leim yabim v'chein ailonis scholar. The Mishnah had continued that a soris, as well as an ailonis, a soris doesn't do chalitza or yibum, and similarly, an ailonis does not do chalitza or yibum. So, katoni sris dumyod ailonis. So we notice the Mishnah is putting a sris and an ailonis in the same breath, therefore teaching us ma ailonis bidei shamayim, so therefore implying that just like an ailonis is bidei shamayim, and now of course it is possible the same way as they could do an operation on a boy when he's young, like I was brought up the other day, for example, about the castrati, where they would do that when they were children. It is possible to do similar things to a girl when she's little, but it's uncommon, and it was certainly uncommon in the times, if they ever did it at all, in the times of the Gemara, given that all the relevant structures are internal, and it would be a lot harder to get to them with the surgical methods they had in those days. So therefore, we can assume that an ailonis, ma ailonis bidei shamayim, when we describe an ailonis, we're talking evidently about one who is that way since birth. Af soris bidei shamayim, the same way, the soris, who is in the same sentence, must be bidei shamayim. Therefore, stomach Rabbi Akiva. Therefore, what we have in our Mishnah is a stam statement, like Rabbi Akiva, d'amma bidei shamayim, bidei adam ein bidei shamayim loy, who says that the soris not doing chalitza and not doing yibum is only when he that or rather that the soris who does who the soris who does do chalitza or yibum is only when he's a soris bidei adam but not bidei shamayim. So therefore, so in other words, what we had is this is an example of machloikas va'achakach stam, where we have a machloikas in the Mishnah, and after that we have a stam Mishnah according to one of those opinions, and we're saying the halacha like that. So it ends up that the halacha is indeed like Rabbi Akiva against Rabbi Eliezer. Then we said in the Mishnah, soris shekholot
v'vimto. What's the status of a woman who had a female circumcision like they did in certain Muslim countries?
Female circumcision is neither here nor there in halacha, because that means that they removed, there are different kinds actually, so I shouldn't say neither here nor there. If we're talking about the kind, for example, where they only remove the protruding part of there, the part that's analogous to the penis in a male, then the pashtus, that doesn't make a difference in halacha because the rest of the relevant parts are there. But it depends, I guess, exactly what it is. It depends, I guess, exactly what it is that they removed. But we're not really getting into that because unless they remove the ovaries or something. Or unless they actually sew Oisei Makom Shot or something, then there's nothing to talk about. But in any case. All right, so the Mishnah had said, a soris shecholot levimto lepsolo fula. We said that if a soris does chalitza to his yavam, then nothing happens. He doesn't passel her to do chalitza with any of the other brothers or to marry a koyan if he dies afterwards, because his chalitza is useless, he being a soris. And similarly, we said, now the Mishnah had continued, on the other hand, if he has relations with her, then he does passel her. And here we're talking about a Swiss Adam. Here we're talking a Swiss Chama, actually. Again, according to Rabbi Akiva, that a Swiss Chama is not, that Chalitza and Yibum is not relevant to him. So if he does Chalitza, then it's a useless Chalitza, so therefore it doesn't matter. And if he does Yibum, then actually he's passeling her, because then it's Be'ilas Znus, because then So he passes her to a kohen in the future, because after all, since there's no yibum, then there's the issur, then there's the issur of having relations with his brother's wife. So the Gemara points out, time of deba'olahu. Now the implication of Mishnah is because he had relations with her, then that creates a problem, because again, then now she becomes a zoina because she had relations with somebody where she's chayiv kares, where there's an issur kares, because again, where there's no yibum, then there's the issur of eshesach, which is one of the arayas, which is kares. But the implication is, if somebody else were to have relations with her without chalitza having been done, then we wouldn't say that she's basal. Now, in that case, does that mean that our Mishnah contradicts Rav Hamnuna? He says, and we're going to have it several times in the perek after next, in the 10th perek, that he says that if a shemeres yavam, while she's waiting for yibum, if she is mizana during that time, then she becomes posel for her, then she becomes posel to do yibum, because he holds in effect that while she's in the state of zika, she's considered to a certain extent like an aishas ish. Now we know that if an aishas ish is mizana willingly, then she becomes also to her husband. If it was unwillingly, if it was forced, then she's also only if he was a kohen. In any case, Rav Hamnuna says, let's forget about the kohen matter for right now and focus on if her yavam is Yisrael. Rav Hamnuna says the fact that she was mizana during that time makes her also to him. Well, in that case, our Mishnah doesn't seem to be saying that, because our Mishnah is saying only because she had relations with her brother-in-law who was a Swiss chama, only then does she become posel kohona, implying that otherwise not. The answer is loy, not necessarily is that what the Mishnah is implying. Hu adin afilo la'achar nami. In fact, the Mishnah might mean that also, like Rav Hamnuna, that also if she's mezanet with somebody else, she also becomes osur. But I did tana reisha b'di day, tana nami seifa b'di day. But since the first part of the Mishnah is talking about him, because it's not really relevant to talk about if somebody off the street gives her chalitza. I mean, obviously such things could happen, but there's no reason for the Mishnah to discuss them. There's no chidush that such a chalitza is invalid. So it mentions only him giving chalitza. So therefore, to keep it parallel, it also mentions about him doing bia with her and trying to do yibum with her, but not in fact to imply that if somebody else does, that if somebody else has relations with her, that it wouldn't passel her. In fact, according to Rav Hamnuna, it would, and our Mishnah is not really necessarily taking a stand on that one way or the other.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Our Mishnah says it exactly that.
Our Mishnah says that if the soris, and we're talking a Swiss chama, shecholot liyivimtai, loy psala, ba'ola psala. So if he does chalitza with her, he doesn't pass over to a kohen. But if he does be'ilah with her, then he does pass over. So now we can say, we're mentioning the part about chalitza and limiting it specifically to him, because there's a chidush, even though he's her brother-in-law. And you would think that his chalitza should have some kind of effect, at least to the extent of passing her to a kohen. We're saying, no, he's completely out of the picture, because as a Swiss chama, according to Rabbi Akiva, which again, we said the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, then he's completely out of the picture as far as chalitza. Now, therefore, it comes out, ba'ola psala, that therefore, if he has relations with her, he passes her on the grounds of znus. But now, whether that last part would be true of other people as well, as Rav Hamnuna saying, or not, the Mishnah is not talking about that one way or the other. The Mishnah is not addressing that point of it.
You can't infer
anything, right? Okay, then we said in the Mishnah, v'chein ailonis shecholtza la'achin kula. Then we said, you have the parallel case where the woman was an ailonis. We said, if any of the brothers did chalitza for her, they didn't passel her. By the way, the expression is shecholtza la'achin, that the brothers in plural did chalitza to her. And the Oruch Haner points out, it means even if all of them did, we're not going to say that. Sometimes we had earlier in the Masechta the concept where sometimes there's chalitza psula. There's a chalitza that's flawed for one reason or another. For example, because yibum can't take place. But we said that chalitza needs to be done with all the brothers, and then it's matir her. So here you would think maybe if all of them did chalitza, maybe it has a certain effect. No, even if all of them do, they didn't passel her to a kohen, because again, since she's an ilonis, then she's out of the picture completely as far as chalitza or yibum. And again, the Mishnah continues that if any of them had relations with her, then they passel her to a kohen for the same reason, because be'ilas znus. Now, the Gemara points out, time of debaluha, so why is it that we're saying that she's passel to a kohen? In other words, if after that they die and now she's an almona and she's mutter to a kohen, haloi ba'alu haloi. The implication is that if they didn't have relations with her, the fact that she's an ilonis in and of itself does not pass over. Kiman Deloy Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, showing that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda, De'i Rabbi Yehuda, Ha'omai Eloi Nesonehi, we had earlier on Daf Samach Aleph when we discussed the definition of a Zoyna, and we had six different opinions of Tanoim, what the definition of a Zoyna is, who's also to marry a Kohen. We have the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda there, who says that an Eloinus is the definition of Zoyna, and he brings a posif to substantiate it, that when you have relations where conception, where having a child is impossible, then that's called, in a certain sense, bias nus, and therefore he says that when the Torah bars a Kohen from marrying the Zoyna, that's what it means. But we see that our Mishnah is not like him, because according to him, an Eloinus would be also to a Kohen anyhow, regardless of whether there was Bia with any of the brothers or not. Again, you know, let's stress the point, which we mentioned at the time, that according to almost all these Tanoim, her being called a Zoyna doesn't require that she actually went and did something wrong. Certainly not if she's an Eloinus, because she's born that way, but according to many of the other definitions that we had also. For example, we said that a woman is raped, and she's also to a Kohen, and she didn't do anything wrong, but nevertheless, she's still also.
It's a different kind of
Zoyna, right? So in other words, yeah, there are definitely places where the word Zoyna means a woman who's doing it willingly. Sefer Mishlei is full of that, for example. The Navi Yumi criticizes the Jewish people and tells them, "Meitzach isha Zoyna hayalach, you're out of forehead. That's you're showing yourself stubborn like an isha Zoyna." Right? There's no question. Obviously, in some places, the word Zoyna means somebody who is actually. We had that the other day. We had that in the Gemara about when David was looking to see why there's the drought. Is it maybe because of Znus? Because the Pasuk mentions over there that rain doesn't come because of that. So obviously, there's definitely places where the word Zoyna means that. We're talking about in connection with the dinim of a Kohen, does it have, what's the definition of that? And we had six different definitions. The halacha is a Zoyna is any woman who had relations with somebody who is also to her. As well as we said, a goy or an eved, even though goy or an eved are not the Torah's gittin b'kiddushin, we said that they're if she has relations with them as well, then it also passes her lakuna. Yeah.
Is there any other implications in halacha for a zona?
As far as I know, no. Just for kohen.
Okay.
Mishnah says, continuing on the topic of Sris Chama Kohen Shanosa Bas Yisrael. Now, at the beginning of the Perek, we talked about a Sris Adam. We talked about a Psua Daka, who's a Kohen, and what the dinim are in terms of his family eating Truma. So we said that he and his Avodim can eat Truma, no problem, but his wife, you have a problem, because the next time he does Bia with her, he's going to pass on her. But now a Sris Chama doesn't have any of those issues, because a Sris Chama is able to marry whoever he wants. There's no Isser, he's not a Psua Daka, he's not a Kurus Shafa. There's just something else wrong with his body. So he's allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael, he doesn't pass on her. So Sris Chama Koyen, Shanosa Bas Yisrael. So if a Sris Chama, who's a Kohen, marries a regular Jewish woman, Machila B'Truma, he can give her Truma to eat. We don't say, in other words, as the Gemara is going to say, we're not going to say that only somebody who is able to father children is able to give his wife Truma. So that part everybody agrees to. Now, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon Omerim, so now, in addition, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon say, Androgynous Kohen Shanasa Bas Yisrael, Machila B'Truma. Now, what about a Kohen who is an androgynous? So now we're going to talk in the Mishnah about the famous pair, the Tumtum and androgynous. So a Tumtum is somebody who, so first let's talk about the androgynous, since he's first in the Mishnah. An androgynous is somebody who has the genitals of both males and females. It's a very, very rare thing, obviously, but it does happen in somehow or other. Medically, what it is when a baby is first formed in the womb, it actually has structures that could develop into both the male and the female organs, and normally what happens is, based on the hormones that are produced by the baby will develop either testicles or ovaries, as the case may be, and those will start putting out the hormones that guide the rest of the development of the body and the development of the various structures. Sometimes it happens that something goes wrong over there, and therefore you wind up with both. Anyway, so and now the point is, the question is basically, is an androgynous a man, or is it a woman? Or is it both, or is it neither? There's actually, in the standard printed Mishnayos, at the end of Masechta Bikurim, there's a chapter appended over there, which is not part of the actual Mishnayos, it's actually a collection of Braises, which goes through this and says there are certain ways in which an androgynous is like a man, certain ways in which the androgynous is like a woman, certain ways in which like both, and certain ways in which like neither. So now, In our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, androgynous kohen shenasa bas Yisrael. So now, if an androgynous who's a kohen marries a woman, machila b'truma, he can give her truma to eat. Now, what kind of truma are we talking about? So Rashi says it can't be truma. The Gemara is going to establish soon that we can't be talking about truma d'oraisa, because if that's actually what the Gemara is going to soon say. We're going to have a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish on it. But on the face of it, the Mishnah can't be talking about truma d'oraisa, because after all, if the androgynous is a suffix zocher, suffix nekeva, then he may be married to this woman. He may not. A woman can't marry a woman in halacha. So how could he give her truma d'oraisa? Truma d'rabbanan, mela, he could give her, because there's the chachamim who made that you have to give truma on these things. They can also say that we'll allow the androgynous to be considered married. So Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon are saying that. So again, on the face of it, we're talking truma d'rabbanan, but we're actually going to have machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish on it, whether maybe it applies even to truma d'oraisa. Next, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Tumtum shenikra v'nimtza zocher. Now, the next kind you have that's ambiguous is a tumtum, which we've talked about previously in the Masechta. A tumtum, the word comes from, it's related to the word timtum alev and other such things. A tumtum is somebody where his genitals are covered up with flesh such that you can't tell whether it's a male or a female. Now, sometimes that can be that covering can be cut open, and then underneath it, you'll find the organs for a zocher or for a nekeva. But right now, until you do, he's a suffer. So now, tumtum, as far as an androgynous, by the way, the word androgynous in and of itself comes from Greek. Andro means man, and gynos means woman. Although there is an interesting thing that's pointed out in some Sfarim, the word androgynous actually has the same gematria as the words zocher unakeva. Anyway, so tumtum shenikra v'nimtza zocher. So now, if a tumtum was cut, if that area was cut open, and it turned out to be a man, lo yachloit, so now, So even though now we know he's a man, so if there comes up a case of chalitza, he should not do chalitza because he's like a Swiss. Because once he was born as a tumtum, then again, it means something obviously went very wrong during his development, that it's covered up like that. And therefore it means that he's the equivalent of a Swiss. He's not going to be able to father children. And again, then therefore he's out of the picture as far as chalitza and yibum. Why, again, like Rabbi Akiva in the previous Mishnah, that a Swiss chama is out of the picture as far as chalitza and yibum. So Rabbi Yehuda is mentioning that point. Continues the Mishnah, androgynous noisei avaloi nisa. Now, we're saying an androgynous is a suffix man, suffix woman, or maybe even the possibility is, again, he might even be sort of almost like a third gender, beria b'fnei. He might be like neither male nor female, but rather something unique. So now, when it comes to marriage, so what do we consider him, a man or a woman? So noise, he marries a wife, avaloi nisa, but he is not married, he's not taken in marriage like a woman. Because, in other words, if he's a man, then he can marry a woman, no problem. If it's a woman, now, we learned a few days ago, women are not supposed to be having relations together either, but maximum, we said, it's prisusa ba'alma. It doesn't actually answer them to a koyan. It's just prisus. As opposed to the androgynous, if we consider him a man, and another man marries him, then you have a problem with mishkav zocher, which is an isu d'araisa and a chiyuv kodesh. So in fact, so therefore, he can marry a wife, but he cannot be married as a wife. Rabbi Lazar, it says further over here, goes further and says, androgynous chayoven olav skila kezocher. In fact, if a man were to have relations with an androgynous, he would actually be chayev skila, just as if it was a regular male. We'll see in the Gemara on Daf Pei Gimel, we'll discuss the machlokas between them of what exactly Rabbi Eliezer, what exactly the Tanakhama versus Rabbi Eliezer considers the androgynous to be. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. Pshita. Now, the first part of the mission, we said a Swiss chama, that a Swiss chama's wife, if he's a kohen, is allowed to eat truma. Isn't that obvious? Why would we think otherwise? The answer is, maud tema, because without the Mishnah telling us, you might have thought, moilid machu, maybe only a man who's potent and is capable of fathering children can give truma to his wife. She'enei moilid enei machu, but if he's not, then he's then not. Because after all, the pasuk says v'lid beisei heim yechlo balachmo, meaning that the children who are born in his house are allowed to eat truma, and the avodim who are born in his house are allowed to eat truma. So you would think maybe to make a deal from that, but not only that means he has to be able to father children. And that would mean that a Swiss chama would be out. So therefore, the Mishnah is telling us, Kamash Malon, the Mishnah is telling us that's not so. And the Mishnah, that's not so. And in fact, a Swiss chama is able to. A Swiss Adam, again, as we said earlier at the beginning of the parak, there you have a different issue, because as soon as he has relations with his wife, he's going to passel her. And then, and we said there might even be the possibility that maybe she's passel right away because Mishtameres, the Bia Psula, because since the next Bia is going to passel her, then maybe already now she's passel. We talked about that previously on Daf Ayin Ayin Aleph. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah of Yosi, Rav Shimon, Omer Mandroginus, that we said in Androginus, Rav Yosi, and Rav Shimon says his wife is able to eat truma. So what kind of truma are we talking about? Now, he can give her truma to eat, but he cannot give her chos of a shoit. We know that the koyanim get portions from a koyan shlomim. And as we say every day in davening, that those portions are necholim, the nesheim, the levneim, the avdeim. They can be eaten by their wives and their slaves and their children. But so now, so Rish Lakish is saying that this koyan, Androgynous, who's married to a woman, then he can give her truma, but if they give him a portion if he receives chos of a shoik from a korban. Now obviously he's not one of the korban who's bringing the korban. He's a balmum. The Gemara phrases it elsewhere in lecha balmum godom mizeh. There's no greater mum than something like that. But nevertheless, like a korban balmum, he is able to receive a portion of kodshim. So if he receives that, though, he cannot give that to his wife to eat. Rabbi Yochanan says no. He could even give her chaz v'shoyk. So the Gemara asks, what are you telling me, Rish Lakish, that he can't give her chaz v'shoyk? Presumably, the reason is because those are available to the Kohenim and their families only on a Daraisa level. And therefore, again, since we have a suffix, whether this androgynous is a man or a woman, and therefore whether his wife is even married to him or not, then therefore we would say that you can't give a chaz v'shoyk. Well, truma nami daraisa. Truma is also daraisa. So why would there be the difference? And the answer is, hochab ma'eskin b'truma v'zmanazeh d'rabon. The answer is that Rish Lakish would say, you're right, we're not talking about truma daraisa. Rish Lakish would say that the Mishnah is talking about truma d'rabon. So that's what it means. In other words, so truma d'rabonon he can give her, but anything daraisa he can't. So chos v'shoik is an example of something daraisa, but in fact the same thing would apply to truma that is daraisa. Now the Gemara is saying over here, according to Rish Lakish, that truma b'zmanazeh d'rabbanon, we're going to say soon, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with that. Usually we have a rule that when there's machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, we usually paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. However, here most of the Rishonim paskin like Rish Lakish, that in fact truma b'zmanazeh is d'rabbanon on the ground, and one point is because even though usually the halacha should be like Rabbi Yochanan, in this case they're not arguing about their own shittis, they're arguing how to understand our Mishnah, then therefore we can say that's an example where the halacha can be like Rish Lakish. So the majority of poskim paskin, there's three times where the halacha is like Rish Lakish outright, but then in addition we have when they're arguing about how to understand the previous right. Tana rather than an independent machlokas of their own, then the halacha may well be like Rish Lakish. So the Rambam brings an opinion that from the Ri that says that in fact it is nowadays daraisa, and Tosfos discusses that over here, the possibility that maybe it is, at least according to what we're going to say in our Gemara, that Rabbi Yossi holds that way, and then Tosfos discusses that the halacha is like that. The Rambam says still they're not really noyig that nowadays. They're still everybody is noyig that to follow the first opinion and say that it's Dirabon. Within that itself, by the way, you have the question: what produce exactly is chayiv in truma d'rabbanan? You have is chayiv in truma d'araisa versus d'rabbanan. So you have two different opinions. Again, you have two different opinions in that among Rishonim. One opinion is that only Dogon Chirish V'Yitzhog, grain, grapes, and olives, are chayiv in Terumah D'Oraisa. According to that opinion, all other fruits are chayiv only D'Rabbanon. And then on the other hand, you have an opinion that all fruits are chayiv D'Oraisa and only vegetables are D'Rabbanon. The Rambam, I think, holds the second way, that all fruits are D'Oraisa, and Rashi holds only Dogon Chirish V'Yitzhog. Bisman Hazeh, again, all of them are Dirabbanan anyway, according to most Rishonim. So in the time when Bisman Shebeis Mikdash Kayam, or actually it's not necessarily dependent on the Beis Mikdash standing, the Rambam seems to say it depends on the question of whether most of the Jewish people live in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, so then Truma would be D'Oraisa, and then within that, then only certain kinds of produce would be D'Oraisa, grain, grapes, and olives, according to Rashi, all fruits, according to the Rambam. Then nowadays, when the Bisman Shein Beis Mikdash Kayam, or Bisman, with that most Jewish people don't live in Eretz Yisrael, then you have a machlokes, whether it's D'Oraisa or D'Rabbanan, whether the things that were D'Oraisa before continue to be D'Oraisa, or whether even those are now D'Rabbanan, Rish Lakish holds that they're all D'Rabbanan. And then and again, most of the Rishonim hold like him. So now, the Gemara asks, Avo Bisman Shein Beis Mikdash Kayam Mai? So you're telling me that what? When the Beis Mikdash is standing, then this androgynous cannot give his wife Truma, because then Truma is D'Oraisa. Well, then, Adatoni, Ein Machila B'Chaz V'Shoik. Then why is Rish Lakish mentioning the point about Chaz V'Shoik? Liflik V'Lis Nibidida. Let Rish Lakish point out the distinction within Truma itself. Let him say, B'med V'Ram Amorim B'Truma D'Rabbanon Av B'Truma D'Oraisa Loi. Let Rish Lakish clearly say that what we're saying in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon are allowing the wife of an androgynous to eat truma, would only be with truma d'rabbanon, but not d'oraisa. Why instead is he bringing in chaz v'shoik? And the answer is hachi nami kamar. Actually, that is what Rish Lakish means. What he means is truma achila. When he gives her truma, ma'achila b'truma b'zman hazeh, he can only give her truma of nowadays, which is d'rabbanon. But it means that when Chozer Shoik is in effect, meaning when there's a Beis Mikdash and Korbanos Shlomim are being brought, then he cannot give her Vafilu Truma D'Rabbanon, then he can't even give her Truma D'Rabbanon. For example, at that time, he wouldn't be able to give her Truma of vegetables, let's say, where vegetables are D'Rabbanon according to everybody. So then he wouldn't be able to Dilma Osi La Oichla B'Truma D'Oraisa, because then he might end up getting confused and giving her a Truma D'Oraisa. So by Rish Lakish mentioning Chaz V'Shoik, he doesn't mean that there's a difference between Truma and Chaz V'Shoik. He's using Chaz V'Shoik as a shorthand term for when Truma exists on a D'Oraisa level. When is that? When there's Chaz V'Shoik. So when there's Chaz V'Shoik, then all Truma is off limits to her, because on a D'Oraisa level, we can't give her, because she might not be the wife of a Kohen at all, because he himself, the androgynous himself, might actually be a woman. So therefore, Truma D'Oraisa is out. Only when there's no Chaz V'Shoik, so Ein Ma'achila B'Chaz V'Shoik means nowadays, when there's no Chaz V'Shoik to give her, because there's no Shlomim, then he can give her Truma D'Rabbanon. So now the question becomes how Rish Lakish knows that how Rish Lakish knows to make this distinction. After all, the Gemara doesn't say any such thing. So Tosfos discusses one reason is because later on in the sugya we're going to talk about Rabbi Yossi himself holds that an androgynous is a suffix. Well, then, if he holds that an androgynous is a suffix, he can't very well have that the androgynous's wife should be able to eat truma d'oraisa. Maximum we can say is truma d'rabbanon. Then Tosfos goes on to discuss that according to Rabbi Yossi, Truma Bizman Hazeh would be D'Oraisa, but maybe not. So that's one way that Rish Lakish would know that our Mishnah has to be talking about Truma D'Rabbanon and allowing her to eat only Truma D'Rabbanon, because Rabbi Yossi is one of the Chachamim who says, in fact, that an androgynous is a suffix. And then there are a few other answers as well. One point is since we have Rabbi Yehuda later on in the sugya is going to be arguing. So one possibility is that when Rabbi Yehuda says something, often his bar plugda is Rabbi Yossi, and therefore that would be the Rabbi Yossi who says in our Mishnah. On the other hand, the Rosh disagrees with that. He points out that actually we find in Shas that when Rabbi Yehuda has machlokes with a Tana, it's usually Rabbi Meir, not Rabbi Yossi. So in any case, Tosfos says that apparently Rish Lakish had the Kabbalah from his Rebbeim, that's how it is that we're talking about Truma, that we're talking about Truma de Rabbanon. So that's Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Af Ma'achil B'Chaz V'Shoyt. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and says, no, the androgynous can give his wife Truma to eat, even Truma on a Daraisa level, and even Chaz V'Shoyt, which exists on a Daraisa level. So Amalei Rabbi Yochanan L'Rish Lakish Misabr Truma B'Zman Azed Rabbanon. Does that mean, says Rabbi Yochanan to Rish Lakish, that you hold that nowadays, when there's no Beis Mikdash, or when most of the Jewish people don't live in Eretz Yisrael, you're holding that Truma is Derabbanon, and you're saying, therefore, that our Mishnah is talking about Truma, is talking about all kinds of Truma nowadays, which are Derabbanon? In other words, as opposed to, you might well have said that our Mishnah is allowing her only Truma Derabbanon, but maybe, for example, only Truma of vegetables. Now, like this, what did we say? Rish Lakish had said that when there's Truma Daraisa, then all Truma is off limits to her. Only when all Truma is Derabbanon, only then is Truma Mutter to her, because we don't want people to get confused and between Truma Daraisa and Derabbanon. Now, Rabbi Yochanan is telling Rish Lakish, you don't have to understand it that way. You could equally well understand it that Truma exists nowadays, even Daraisa. But again, that there are some things that are Chayav Daraisa and some things that are Chayav Derabbanon. Namely, according to Rashi, grain, grapes, and olives Daraisa and everything else Derabbanon. Or according to the Rambam, all tree fruits Daraisa and everything else Derabbanon. And vegetables Derabbanon. So now, so Rabbi Yochanan says, why don't you understand the Mishnah that way? So your premise is that Truma Bizman Azeh of everything is only Derabbanon. Where are you getting that from? Amalei Ein. And Rish Lakish says, yes. As a matter of fact, that is how I learned. That is how I hold. Shani Shona Igul Bi Igulim Oila. And the reason is because I teach a Braisa, or I learn, or I teach a Braisa that talks about an eagle, a round cake of pressed figs of Truma that was mixed up with Igulim, with other such round cakes of figs. And we talk about it being bottled. So there's two possibilities. Truma, usually you need a larger amount. Usually we say things are bottled with shishi. When it comes to Truma, instead you need bittul b'meya, you need 100 times as much chulin to be mevatel the Truma, and then it's mutter to zorim to eat. Otherwise, then what you do is you take out one from the mixture, give it to the kohen, so that the kohen are not being deprived of it. It's called gezel hashevet. But other than that, you're allowed to eat the. Otherwise, other than that, the zor is allowed to eat the rest of it. But if there was less than 100 times as much chulin, then the whole mixture becomes also for zorim to eat. And then what you have to do is you have to sell it to kohenim. And throw in the one for free. So let's say, for example, one eagle of truma fell into, let's say, 90 eagulim of chulin. So now you have 91 altogether, and you can't tell which one is the truma one. You would sell them all to kohenim for the price of 90, and you throw in the one in free, because after all, the one is truma and it belongs to them. You'd sell it to them for the price of 90, and within that, you'd sell it to them for the price of 90 units of truma. Truma costs less, right? Because only
kohenim. Price or
you're getting price. Truma price for the 90, and you're throwing in the one for free.
You got a big haircut.
Yeah, but nevertheless, so we're going to talk about later on how about Hefsid Meruba versus Hefsid Mort. But yeah, anyway. So Rish Lakish says, I have a Braisa that talks about a cake of figs of Truma that falls into other cakes of figs of Truma. So now we can talk about that if there's 100 times as much cholin, which Rashi says there are two possibilities. One can be that we're talking about Truma versus Cholin. The other one can be where one of them is Truma Tmeya and the other ones are Truma Tahora, where there at least what it gains is because you have 100 times, then that allows us to say it's bottle and not have to worry about the fact that it's Truma Tmeya. Had it been less than 100, we would consider the whole thing to be Truma Tmeya and no Koyan can eat it, because we learned a few days ago that Truma Tmeya, there's an Isser Esser on eating it. But it can be bottle and 100 times as much. Now, the point is, the point is two things. An eagle is a dover choshev. It's something that's usually sold by number. This is what we're going to be discussing in the Gemara now in the Sugya. You have things that are usually sold, that you have things that, not usually, that's what we're going to talk about. You have things that are sold by number, and you have things that are sold by weight. Most commodities are sold by weight, but you have certain things, eggs are an example. We're going to have other examples in the Gemara soon, which are sold by number. We're going to have soon in a list where things that are sold by number. That's the same list from Cholin and from Orlan. We'll get to it soon. Yeah. So now the Shlokish says an eagle dvela is a double choshu. It's something that's sold by number. It's usually sold by number. Therefore, it shouldn't be bottled, even in 100. Now, on the other hand, the truma of figs is derabanan. But if we say that if that's according to Rashi's shita that only grain, grapes, and olives are chayiv min atorah. But when truma daraisa is in effect, then we would make a gzera again that we would say that even something that's only chayiv and truma derabanan would not be bottle because it might be confused with something daraisa. So therefore, Rish Lakish says, given that we say eagle be igulim oila, since we say that it can come up, meaning that it can be bottle, that requires us to say that nowadays truma is derabanan. Because if truma had still been daraisa nowadays, since we're talking about a davar choshuv, then it wouldn't be bottle because we wouldn't want any kind of truma to, even if it's only derabanan, to be bottle because it might be confused with truma daraisa. But since nowadays, says Rish Lakish, all truma is derabanan, then there's no problem. So that's how Rabbi Yochanan is going to explain that. That's what we're going to say now. But Tosfos also points out, so what? Now we're going to discuss in the sugya, another point is we're going to have a machlokas. Does this issue of not being bottle apply to any davar shebeminyan, or does it apply only to a certain list of things, like the pomegranates, a badon that you just mentioned, for example? So maybe the shlokish's braisa holds like that. Tosfos says that in that case, then he wouldn't have mentioned igulei dvela, which are only chayiv and truma derabanan. Instead, he would have mentioned something which is also daraisa, for example, an egg from a non-kosher animal, from a non-kosher bird. And then, since he didn't mention that, then it implies that we're talking about that the reason why it's mutter is only because nowadays truma is derabanan. So Rabbi Yechanan tells him, what do you mean though? I have a braisa that teaches us that even in things daraisa, it can be bottled. Even if you have a piece of meat of chatas that got mixed up with other pieces, for example, a piece of chatas that became tamei, where you have to burn it, got mixed up with other pieces of meat of chulin or of chatas, as the case may be, that are tohur. So then Rabbi Yochanan says, I have a braisa that says that it's bottle. Now, obviously, there we're talking something daraisa. And even though a piece of meat is a davar choshuv, it's chaticha ruy liskabed, nevertheless, it's still bottle. And the reason is, because he says, mi sabret kol shadarka limonis shaninu, because Rabbi Yochanan continues to Rish Lakish, you think that the rule is anything which sometimes is or often is counted is not bottle. No, that's not the rule. The rule is the Mishnah that you're referring to in a Mishnah in Orla, which is also brought, I don't know if it's brought in Chulin actually, on the side over here, it brings Zvachim, Beitza, and Orla, but not Chulin. Whatever, anyway, the concept of Bittel, of course, comes up in Chulin, but in other contexts. But anyway, so Rabbi Yochanan says, no. The correct wording of the Mishnah is not kol shadavka limonis, but rather es shadavka limonis. Only things that are exclusively sold by number, not things that most of the times are sold by number, but not always. So now when it comes to igulei dvela and when it comes to slices of meat, yes, usually they're sold by number, but not always. Sometimes they're just sold. Sometimes you just have a large shipment of them and you just sell them. You just estimate how much there is over there and you sell them. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, so your proof for a shlokish from igulei dvela is not a proof. Igulei dvela are not considered something that wouldn't be bottle. Therefore, even if truma is daraisa, they're able to be bottled. So you have no proof from there that truma is derabanan. So the same way as slices of meat, which are definitely, when you're talking about chatas, it's definitely daraisa, and we can say that it's bottle. So maihi, what is Rabbi Yochanan referring to? So the Tana, we learn a Mishnah in Orla. If a person has bundles of tilton, which is in English it's called fenugreek, you find it it's an herb that has like sort of triangular shaped seeds that have a sharp taste to them. They use them as a spice, and in particular in Yemenite cooking, they use it a lot. They call it khilba. Anyway, so it's an herb. It's a vegetable. Yeah. Anyway, so
fenugreek.
It's fenugreek. Yeah. So.
They make it into that sauce kind of.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, the point is that if a person has that, now it's considered a vegetable. So therefore, if it's grown in a vineyard, then it's going to be also as kalaya kerem. Because the rule is that kalaya kerem, any vegetables or herbs or grain that's grown in a vineyard near vines becomes also, and you have to, and it's also banah. So if a person has bundles of tilton, shall kalaya kerem, yidoku, then you have to burn them because that's what you have to do with kalaya kerem. If then those bundles get mixed up with other bundles, kulan yudoku divid a mayor, then a mayor says all of them have to be burnt because he would say that they're not bottled. Because as the Mishnah is going to continue, Reb Meir says that anything that's sold by number is not bottled. So now Kalaya Kerem, Rashi points out, they could be bottle, but you would need 200 to be mevatel them. When it comes to Truma, you need 100. When it comes to Kalaya Kerem and Orla, then you need 200. Rashi refers to a Gemara in Psachim that gives a pasuk in Yechezkel that gives a hint to that because it mentioned Mina Mosayim. That may also be in Cholin, I don't know. I guess Cholin is your specialty, but yeah. Okay. Okay. I don't remember, but okay, it's very possible. Anyway. The Rambam gives a logical reason for it also. Given that Kalaya Kerem have an additional Chumra over Truma, you think about it, Truma is also to Zorim, but it's Mutter to Koyanim. Kalaya Kerem and Orla are also even Ba'anah, so therefore the Chachamim upped it from 100 to 200. Anyway, the point is, Reb Meir is saying, yes, normally Orla and Kalaya Kerem can be bottled in 200, but in this case, because it's something that's sold by number, because it's a bundle of Tilton, and such bundles are sold by number, then Reb Meir says it's considered a Dabur Choshuv, and therefore it can't be bottled. Reb Meir is saying that, Tosfos points out, by the way, that it's one thing with Kalaya Kerem. You can talk about the question of whether Kalaya Kerem applies nowadays, Daraisa, but you could say that when the Bismikdash is standing, it's Daraisa. Nowadays, it's only Drabanon, but the Eagle Dvela is Drabanon on two grounds. Number one, because the Bismikdash is destroyed, and number two, because, according to Rashi, anyway, it's the Truma of figs and other things that are not grain, grapes, and olives is only Drabanon. So the mayor says, therefore, that those bundles are not bottled. The Chachamim say they can be brought out with 200, meaning if there were 200 more bundles that were not Kalaya Kerem, then you can be mevatel this one, and then you just take, and now, in the case of Truma, you actually have to take one out and give it to the Kohen. In the case of Kalaya Kerem, obviously, you don't have to do that. I don't remember, actually, if you have to take one out and burn it. I don't think so, because once it's bottled, and it's not like you have to. Yeah, but in any case, the point is that it is bottled the Masayim. Now, Shahoyer Rab Meir Omer. Now, the reason why Rab Meir says that you have to burn it, because he says, Kol Shadaukali Manis Makadish. Anything which is regularly counted is Makadish. Makadish actually means that it makes it off limits, because that's actually the expression in the Pasuk about Kalaya Kerem is Pentikdash Hamaleya, where it means the word Kodesh. Usually the word Kodesh means holy, but basically the word Kodesh means off limits. So something that's Kodesh is called that because it's off limits to be used for mundane purposes. But sometimes we also use it to mean off limits in a negative sense. A Kadesha, for example, and here we have the word Kodesh means that it's off limits like that. And also the Gemara elsewhere darshins also that the word Pentikdash is short for Pentukad Esh. It'll be burnt in fire, which is where we learn that Orla and Kalaya Kerem, in particular has to be burnt. So anyway, so the mayor says that because these bundles of Tilton are something that regularly are sold by number, then therefore it's Makadish. It puts off limits no matter how many it falls into. Even if it's 200, even if it's 300, it's never bottled. The Chum say no, it's only that only six things are Makadish, only six things are never bottle. Rav Akiva Oy Meshiva, and Rav Akiva says, I agree with the six of the Chachamim, but I add a seventh. Elohein, and the six are Egoze Perech, nuts of Perech. So Rashi explains that Perech is the name of a place. Tosfos brings that actually Perech means easily breakable. It means that these are nuts whose shells are easily breakable. The point is, we're going to say that all these things that we're listing over here are all considered very important things. So therefore, these are all things. Because of their chashivos, then they're not bottled. So these are gozei perach, according to Rashi, because they're very high quality, because they come from a certain place. And according to Tosfos, because they're high quality in the sense that they're easy to break open, then therefore they have a certain chashivos and they're never bottled. What a gozei perach could be, to think of it in modern terms, one possibility is it might be coconuts, another possibility is it might be peanuts. Yeah, maybe coconuts or peanuts or something. Anyway, so that's the first one. V'rimoni bodon. The second one is pomegranates for bodon. And here everybody agrees that the word bodon is the name of a place. So the pomegranates from there were very high quality. V'chovius strumus, sealed barrels of wine. So once the barrel is open, it loses its chivus, but as long as it's sealed, then it's still considered important. Next, the chilfe trodin, then the leaves of trodin are beets or something in that family. And the leaves of them, were considered something very important. The kulche kruv and cabbages. In particular, the Gemara mentions elsewhere, the cabbages that grew in Eretz Yisrael would grow the size of trees elsewhere. So they were considered extremely chashuv. Meaning, in other words, the heads of cabbage, chashuv, would grow very, very large. Udlas Yevonis and Greek squash, which again we find in various places, in particular in Seder Zeraim, that Greek squash was a particularly large, and then where there was a particularly large kind of squash and had very large leaves that easily blended in with other plants nearby. So the point is, again, all of these are big, important kinds of things, and therefore they're not bottled. Rabbi Akiva Moisif Avkikris Shabalabais. Rabbi Akiva adds a seventh one, also loaves of bread that were baked by a balabais, as opposed to ones that were baked by a commercial baker. So the Mishnah continues. Now, in this list of six or seven things, not all of them are relevant to Urla, and not all of them are relevant to Kalaya Kerem, because Urla applies only to trees, and Kalaya Kerem applies only to vegetables and grains and whatnot. So therefore, of this list, some of them are relevant to Urla. The Egoze Perech, if we say, for example, if they're coconuts or something, then they grow on a tree. The Rimoni Bodon, the same thing. The Chovius Strumus, so made of wine, it's also something to which Urla applies. And according to Rabbi Akiva, also the Kikris Shop. No, so that's it. Those three we can talk about Urla. And then the other ones, the Chilfei Trodin, are vegetable, the Kochei Kruv, the Blas Yevonis, are all vegetables. And according to Rabbi Akiva, Kikris Shabalabais, which are made from wheat, all of those, Urla is not relevant to them, but Kilaya Kerem is. If they're planted in a vineyard, then they become also. So that's what we mean. The rules apply to both of them, but the which specific Isser was it that caused the problem is going to be different with some of them versus others. So now that we have that Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan Sava Eschedak with Limonas Shaninu. So now Rabbi Yochanan learns that the rule is Eschedak with Limonas, things that are exclusively sold by number. So therefore, so Rabbi Yochanan would say, when you have things that usually are sold by number, but sometimes not, sometimes they're just sold by weight, then therefore those can be bought. Resh Lakish Sava Kol Shadak to Limonas Shaninu, whereas Resh Lakish holds that means no, anything that even sometimes is sold by number. So now, returning to the discussion we said before about the Eagle Shodvela is an example of Kol Shadak to Limonas. It's something which is often sold by number, but not exclusively so. So now, Resh Lakish is going to hold that such a thing can't be bottled, unless Truma is Derabanan. If Truma is Derabanan, then the Chachamim can allow it to be bottled. And therefore, when it comes to Kilaya Kerem and Urla, where it's Deraisa, then we're not going to allow that. Again, Tosfos says, okay, maybe he would say when nowadays that Kilaya Kerem is Derabanan, and since figs, no, so he would say that that's the thing. That was what Tosfos said on Amud Aleph, that he would still say that we have to be Machmir with them. Now, we have to be machmir with them, according to the mayor anyway, even nowadays when Kilaya Kerem is only Dirabonon, because after all, you only have one Dirabonon as opposed to by Truma of figs. And you have two things. Number one, that Truma itself is Dirabonon, and number two, that Truma of figs, according to Rashi anyway, was always Dirabonon. So now all of this is within Reb Meir's opinion, by the way. There is a machlokas rishonim. Is the halacha, in fact, like Reb Meir or not? Now, one point is, Yeah, so we have in the Mishnah three-way machlokas. We have Reb Meir, we have the Chachamim, and we have Reb Akiva. They're all Rishonim who paskin like each one of them, but the majority of Rishonim paskin like Reb Akiva. So the Rambam paskins like Reb Akiva, and most of the Rishonim after him and the poskim follow him. The Rambam explains, but actually, I shouldn't say that. The Mechaber brings the Rambam's opinion, and then I shouldn't say that at all. I was completely wrong about that. The Mechaber brings the Rambam's opinion. The Mechaber brings the Rambam's opinion, which is that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. Only these seven things, so the six that the Tanna Kamma added, the six that the Tanna Kamma listed, plus bread from a Baal HaBayis. The Rambam also adds, by the way, that it's not only these seven things. What we mean is these seven things in all times and all places are not bottled. But the Rambam adds, if you have anything else which has the same chashivus as these things had in those times, then that would also not be bottled. So, but the Rambam limits it to a certain list.
We always sell a loaf of bread.
Yeah, but with the loaves of Shabbat HaBayis that were baked at home, we sell them by number. They're more chashiv. We sell them by number, not yet. So that's how the Rambam holds. So the Mechaber in Yerdei and Simon Kofiur and Hochstar Rovas brings the Rambam's opinion. On the other hand, the Ramah brings an opinion from the Ri that no, in fact, the halacha would be like Reb Meir because the halacha would be like Reb Meir, and then within that you have the machlokas of Rish Lakish and Reb Yechanan, whether it's es shadak with limonis or kol shadak with limonis, whether we're talking about things that are exclusively sold by number or things that are often sold by number. But now why would the Rambam be saying the halacha is like Reb Akiva? Because usually the halacha is like Reb Akiva against an individual of the Tanna who disagrees with him. So here, the Rambam would learn, apparently, he's not really disagreeing with the Chachamim, he's just adding a seventh item to their list. So he's arguing with Reb Meir. Fine, halacha k'Reb Akiva, mechaber. Now, we often have a rule that when the Amoraim are arguing within a certain opinion of a Tana, then it shows that the halacha is like him. Here we have Reb Yechanan and Rish Lakish arguing within Reb Meir's opinion. That might be a reason to say the halacha is like Reb Meir. And that is, in fact, why the Ri says that is so. However, again, the Rambam disagrees with that and says that's not always a hard and fast rule. And here he says the halacha is like Reb Akiva, and the Mechaber brings that accordingly. But Pashtus, that would mean that nowadays that would be one of those things that Sfardim and Ashkenazim do differently, but I don't know how often enough it comes up to know whether there is in fact a difference in minhag in that. Anyway, so Reb Yechanan Sava es shadak limonis shenenu. So Reb Yechanan holds that the rule is anything which is exclusively counted is not bottle, but anything that's regularly counted but not exclusively can be bottle. So therefore, according to Reb Yechanan, even a slice of meat of chatas can be bottle in other slices of meat, because even though it has kedusha daraisa, nevertheless, it's not estradakulimonis. It's not something that is exclusively sold by number. Pieces of meat sometimes are sold by weight, therefore it can be bottle. Whereas Rish Lakish holds kol shadak limonis, so according to him, anything that sometimes is counted is not bottle. Therefore, according to him, in fact, slices of meat of truma could not be of chatas rather could not be bottle. And for the same reason, he would say igule dvela. If we were talking about something daraisa, they wouldn't be bottle only because igule dvela. First of all, dvela itself is chayiv in truma only dirabanan according to Rashi. And second of all, according to what Rish Lakish is saying here in the Gemara, Truma nowadays is only the Rabbanon, then therefore it can be bottled. Okay, the Gemara says, "My Chaticha." Where do we see this discussion about, what's this discussion about a slice of meat of Chatas? What's the Braisa? So the Tanya, Chaticha shol Chatas Tmeya, shenis arba b'meya Chaticha shol Chatois Tahoris. If a slice of chatas that was tomei, which is supposed to be burnt, gets mixed up with 100 slices of meat of chatas, which is tahor, v'chein prusa shalachem upon him tmeya, shenis arba b'meya prusa shalachem upon him tahoris. Or similarly, if you have a slice of lachem upon him, which was tomei, and got mixed up with 100 slices that are tahor, tala, so that it can be taken out. In other words, it can be bottled. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a loy tala. Rabbi Yehuda says it cannot. And the reason why Rabbi Yehuda says not is because he says, min b'mino like bottle. He says that a thing can be bottle only in other things, not of its kind, but not when it's mixed into the same kind. So But if a slice of chatas that was tahor gets mixed in with other with slice of chulin that are tahor, v'chein prusa shalachem apanim tahora, genis arvim mei prusa shalachem tahoras, divrei hako loy tala. Everybody would agree that you do not take it out, meaning it's not bottled. Now, why not? Rabbi Yehuda certainly not, because Rabbi Yehuda holds min b'mino they bottle. So according to him, it's not bottle regardless. But even according to the Chachamim, that normally it would be bottle, they would say in this case, there's no real hefsed meruba. Because so, after all, you could sell them to Koyanim, and Koyanim will be able to eat them. So therefore, they're going to say, we're not worried about a hefsed mu'at. That's not reason enough to be mevatel something like lachem aponim or chatos, which has kedusha on a d'oraisa level. By the way, Tosfos learns that Rabbi Yehuda is not saying because min b'mino le'batul. Tosfos says that no, the reason is because Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rish Lakish. We said kol dover kol shadakul he holds like Rabbi Meir, and like Rish Lakish is understanding of Rabbi Meir kol shadakul imonis, anything that's often counted is not batul, and therefore he would say that it's not a batul. So again, we're saying that if the chatas was tahor or the lechem aponim was tahor and it got mixed up into other ones that are tahor, even the chachamim are going to say that you're not mevatel it, because it means you're going to have to sell them to koyanim. You're going to have to take a little bit of a loss. Okay, but it's not such a big loss. It's not like as if the whole thing had to be burnt or destroyed or whatever because it was tamei. Where there we would say it could be batel, but not over here. But not over here. Actually, Rashi explains that in the Reisha, it's not just a matter of hefsed meruba; it's a matter of that you're gonna have to burn them, and you have hefsed kodshim. You have the fact that you're destroying kodshim unnecessarily. So therefore, we would allow them to be bottled. But over here, where it's all tahor, nothing needs to be destroyed. You just need to give it or sell it to koyanim. There's a hefsed mu'at involved, but big deal. The chachamim are not worried about that. Now, when it comes to the eagle dvela, that's different because, again, we're saying that the eagle dvela itself is only derabanan. Here we're talking about things that are daraisa. So therefore, katoni miyas reisha tala. We'll continue the discussion tomorrow, Bez Hashem. But anyway, the point is that that was the braisa that Rabbi Yochanan brought, where we see, in other words, says Rabbi Yochanan, that even things daraisa can be bottled. So therefore, he says that that's what it means. Even so, it's not like you, the Shlokish, are saying that only because Truma nowadays is Drabonon can it be bottled. In fact, even things that are Chayiv and Truma or whatever, Daraisa, can be bottled. And then you have the example of that over here. Now, we're going to ask, what about in the Reisha? Why are we saying, so now, according to the question is going to be now on Rish Lakish. If Rish Lakish says that things daraisa are not bottle, we said that if the lechem aponim, if the slice of lechem aponim or the slice of chatas was tomei, then it is bottle. How does that fit with Rish Lakish's opinion? So that we'll discuss in the Gemara tomorrow, Master Shem.
Tomorrow.